Let's take our Bibles and turn to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter number 16, and we'll be reading this morning verses 5 through 11, and I want to preach a message on why so little faith, Matthew chapter 16, verses 5 through 11. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. And Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves and the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Amen. Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up? How is it that you do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees?
Amen.
Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this morning, and Lord, we certainly need help. Lord, you want our faith to be strong. You want it to be growing, our confidence and reliance upon you to be greater and greater. And we ask you, Father, that you would allow the Holy Ghost to work in us this morning and help us in this area of our life. Lord, we want to please you.
Yes.
You said without faith it's impossible to please you. Lord, we want to glorify you. And Father, we want to be used for the upbuilding of your kingdom.
Yes.
And so, God, please help us this morning if there's a reason why our faith is little, Would you shine a spotlight on that? God, help us to address it. Help us to get help from you. And Lord, to overcome a little faith. Lord, please, if there are those among us that are unsaved, and yet they have not put their faith and trust in Jesus, Lord, move on them today to come to Jesus and receive Christ as their Savior and their Lord. Father, please help me this morning. Anoint me with the Holy Spirit and power. Use me to say what needs to be said, and that you would be glorified. And we'll thank you and praise you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Last Sunday morning, we looked at there are four occasions in the Bible where the Bible says the just shall live by faith. And we saw where it takes faith to be saved in Romans chapter 1 and verse 17. We also saw in Galatians that it takes faith to be sanctified, to grow and be more mature. The law can't help us to develop and be Christ-like. It only takes us backwards. And that's the purpose of Paul's letter in Galatians. He's trying to help them. We also saw in Hebrews chapter 10 that we need faith when we face difficulties and struggles. Persecution. They were losing their homes, their possessions, and they were encouraged by the writer of Hebrews to have faith and trust God. The just shall live by faith even during times of struggle. And then we went back to the book of Habakkuk, and we saw that we need faith when we're stupefied, when we don't know what's going on. The world is collapsing around us. The enemy is increasing. We're being carried away into captivity. And Habakkuk says, have faith. The just shall live by faith. So all throughout the Bible, it shows us how important our faith in God is, our reliance upon God. Remember, Jesus was going to a fig tree to get fruit off of it. And he gave the appearance that it would have figs. And when he got to the fig tree, there was none. And he cursed the fig tree. And the next day, the disciples came by, and it had dried up at the roots. And they marveled, and they said, how did this happen? It dried up by the roots. And Jesus said to his disciples, have faith in God.
Amen.
If you have faith in God, you'll say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast in the sea, and it shall be done. And he went on in Mark to say, and when you pray, believe that you receive what you ask for, and you shall act. I think faith is vital in our Christian life. It's not just the key to being saved by relying on Jesus and trusting what he did at Calvary. It is all throughout our Christian experience. And no wonder Jesus tried to continue to help the disciples to grow in faith. There are four times in the Gospel of Matthew that Jesus says to his own disciples, you are of little faith. After a while, I think I would probably start to get a little bit burdened by that, wouldn't you?
Amen.
On a couple occasions, he said to others, I have not seen so great a faith.
Yes.
And then when he talks to these disciples that he's trying to train and teach to live by faith, he says, men, you're showing little faith. And he did that sometimes with a really sharp rebuke. You should not have such little faith. The first occasion you find that is in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 6. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 6, this is a part of the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus says this in verse number 30 of Matthew, chapter 6. He says, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, God's concerned about how the grass and flowers look, so he makes sure they have what they need. If God would do that which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye? And then he says, O ye of little faith. Our faith is little because we try to figure out things on our own. One of our big problems as Christians is we're constantly trying to do things on our own instead of looking to God for His help. We need to start remembering that we are the children of God and we need God's help in every aspect of life, and we need to look to God to meet our needs, not to our own ability or strength. You see, the world, they are not concerned about what God thinks, what God will do for them. But that should not be the way it is with the children of God. The children of God are to know that when we need something, our Father will provide what we need. One of our problems is that we, through our own skill, our wisdom, our physical strength, we think we can obtain these things ourselves. Especially if you're young and strong and you got a good paying job, when you meet a financial problem, you know what you do? You get a second job. You figure you're going to work it out some way, or you borrow money and plan on paying it back at some time. And very few times do Christians, when they face a financial problem, do they fall on their face and say, "Oh God, we need your help." And we get so used to fixing our own problems that our faith never grows. We don't really trust God for our food, for our clothes, or for our drink. We know how to get those things ourselves. Why do you think that God said in His Word here in Matthew chapter 6, "Don't take no thought of what you shall eat or drink or what you shall wear"?
Yes.
I mean, those are pretty basic things in life.
Yes, it is.
And if we can do anything on our own, we should be able to handle those basic things. And Jesus said, if your faith is going to grow, it has to start here.
Amen.
You know, the reality is this: if God didn't allow you to have the strength that you have and the skill that you have and the ability or wisdom that you have, you could not do anything that you're doing now to make any money at all.
Amen. You're talking right.
I probably mentioned this a little bit too much, but May the 2nd, 1996, if you were to come to me and ask me, "Tommy, can you handle things? I mean, can you, you know, work hard enough to make money?" I probably would have said yes. I mean, I'm strong. I could carry a heavy weight upstairs. I could handle things. But that night, about 9 o'clock, a young lady ran a stop sign, hit me in the driver's side door. Broke my back, my right femur, and other things, and I was laying on the side of the road in a lot of pain. I heard a lot of people screaming. Next thing I know, I'm in a light flight. They take me downtown, and it's one surgery after another surgery. One surgery lasted 9 hours. They told Brenda, said, "Now, you call and check on him anytime you want to." And so she called back there. And she realized that they were doing the surgery right then, and she hung up. "Don't talk to me, you pay attention to him." And we didn't know for a while if it was going to walk or live or anything. And I went from being able to handle anything on my own to being in the store with my wife watching her pick up the dog food, because I couldn't even pick up the dog food. You have the strength that you have today because God has granted that strength to you. By the way, you have the mental ability you have today because God has given you that mental ability. You say, "Well, listen, I'm sharp, man. I can figure things out. I can work things out. I mean, I can get things together. I could do." You know what? God could just interrupt that in just a moment. If you have those gifts, those gifts are from God. The reality is we are dependent on God to put food on our table every single day of our life and to give us something to drink and to put clothes on our back. For any of us, that could radically change in just a moment. We always need God. You know, praying before you eat. Some people just take that for granted. Some people pray like this, good bread, good meat, good Lord, let's eat. Some people just bow their head and say thank you, and they get up and they start eating. And it's really not directed at God anymore. The truth is, every time we receive a meal, we ought to be grateful to God, because there are hundreds of thousands and millions of people all over the world that didn't receive a single meal that day. We have what we have because God has graciously given that to us, and we cannot lose our thankfulness. And we need to stop trying to figure things out ourselves, and in little things, minor things, you say, preacher, I need some clothes. How about just asking God about that?
Yeah.
Say, Lord, you said you clothe the flowers and the grass.
Yeah.
You know what needs are. Lord, would you help me in that area?
Yeah.
You know, Jesus taught us in the model prayer. What does the model prayer say? Give us this day. God, meet our needs today. Why does he say that we're to pray that way? Because we need to recognize that everything comes from God. Stop trying to figure out things for yourself. If you keep doing that, your faith will never grow. It will always be little. The second time Jesus mentions this issue of faith with his disciples is found in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 8. Look at verse 26. Matthew chapter 8, verse 26, they're out on the boat, the tempest is raging, the waves are splashing into the ship, the disciples are panicking, they think they're going to sink, and Jesus is asleep. And they run in there, and they wake up Jesus, and they say, Jesus, get up, we got to get some help, don't you care that we're going to die out here and drown in this water? Do something. Wake up, Jesus. Wake up. And then this is what Jesus said in verse 26. He saith unto them, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? If we were out on that boat, we probably would be a little bit afraid ourselves. Our faith is little because we forget his word. We don't pray about food and clothing and something to drink because we forget that he said, depend on me for these things. Don't just think you can handle them. By the way, he can turn that upside down. You can go from having an abundance to being in the great need in just hours. And what we also need to do is we need to remember what he said in his word. See, our faith is a dependence on what he promised us, what he commanded, what he said. When we face something, we have to remember what he said in order to grab a hold of that promise and say, God, I know you'll handle this because your word said that you will do this.
Amen.
No, if you look at verse 18 of Matthew chapter 8, you'll see where the problem started. They forgot that Jesus commanded them to go to the other side. He didn't command them to get halfway in the middle and then the boat sink. He said, men, look at verse 18 of Matthew chapter 8. Now when Jesus saw the great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the
other side.
Why is he sleeping in the boat? Because he knows he's going to the other side. There's no reason to worry about the waves, the storms, the wind, the water coming in the boat. None of that is to worry him at all because he's going to the other side. He's already commanded that, and nothing's going to change his command. And if the disciples had just remembered what he said, you know what they'd have done? They'd have went in there and went to sleep with Jesus. No matter what the storm was. Why? Because he said, go to the other side.
Amen.
And a lot of times our faith is little because we cannot recall or we don't know what God has promised us. Some of you are praying for your lost loved ones. And sometimes you get discouraged in praying for those lost loved ones. And you get discouraged because you don't see no movement. You don't see no change. Sometimes even the devil tries to convince you things are getting worse. He says to you, they're not getting closer to being saved. They're getting further from being saved. And you think, well, my prayers are not doing anything at all. And you forget that Jesus said in his word, I am not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know what Jesus wants for your lost loved ones? He wants them to be saved.
Amen. Yes.
When you can pray with great confidence. God, save my lost child. Save my grandchild. God, stir their heart by the power of the Holy Ghost and convict them of their sin and draw them to the Savior that they'd be born again. I don't want my kids in hell. I want them in heaven. And you see the storm raging, you see the kids denying, you see the hardness, you hear their words. Sometimes they say mean things about Jesus and you think, that's a hopeless situation. I've tried to talk to my brother I don't know how many times. And he's a lost cause. No, he's not. I witnessed to my older brother for 30 years. I know it's hard to believe that I'm that old, but I witnessed to him for 30 years. And on one conversation before we hung up, I mentioned Jesus to him and he needed to get right with Jesus. And he said, hey, I want to just say something to you. What you say, it does make a difference. That's the first time I ever thought that I may have reached him in some way over 30 years of trying to point him to Jesus Christ. And now he's in church, his wife's in church.
Praise the Lord.
They're not perfect, but none of us are. Amen. But he's trying to follow Jesus Christ. And so when it comes to the situations of life, you and I need to remember what Jesus said, and we can count on the promises of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So sometimes our faith is not maturing. It stays little because we forget what he said in his word. And then a third example that Jesus gives to us is found in Matthew chapter number 14. This is one y'all are familiar with. Jesus is walking on the water. And they see someone walking on the water, and they're coming towards the ship where the disciples are on. And Peter says, Lord, if that's you, bid me to come unto thee on the water. And Jesus can't deny himself. He says, come. And Peter steps out of the boat and he's walking on water. You know, there was somebody else other than Jesus that walked on water. Right? Peter was walking on the water. And then he got his eyes off Jesus and he started looking at the waves and the storm and he said, what in the world am I doing out here on water? Nobody should be able to walk on water. I mean, look at all, and he started sinking. And as he sunk in despair, he cried out to Jesus and he said, Lord, save me. And notice what Jesus said in verse 31, immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Now, he had faith enough to get out of the boat. That's pretty bold faith. But then when he got out in the water, he got his eyes off Jesus and he started to sink because He turned away from the focus of his faith. Our faith is little because we focus on our problems. You know, here the doctor says, hey, you have cancer. You don't have long to live. You know what we focus on? We don't focus on Christ. We focus on cancer. We have some other tragedy in life, and our full attention is always on the tragedy. It's not on Jesus. I mean, isn't that reality? That's where we live. We have this big problem, and that's all we can think about is the problem. And we see the storm, but we can't see the Savior. And when we get our focus on the problem and not on Jesus, our faith grows weaker and weaker and weaker. We start to sink. And I say most of us have done this. Sometimes we're praying for victory over sin. I hope that you do that. Like if you're struggling with anger, you know who solves the anger problem? Jesus will. If you're struggling with any other sin, lust, you know who can help you overcome that? Jesus. Any other thing that Satan tries to enslave you with, Jesus is the only one that can set us free from all those attempts of the devil. And this is what happened. You know that's true. You know the power of Christ is greater than the power of the devil. Jesus gives you victory, and you claim that, and you step out, and you're out on the water, and you're doing really good, and then you're given that sin again, and you fail, and you think, oh, you know what? Why am I even trying? You know, here I am. I done did it again. And you start sinking.
Amen.
Instead of saying, Lord, without you, this is all I can do. Help me not to do this ever again. Every failure should lead to you clinging to Christ more earnestly.
Amen.
You ever done this? You know, you're not tithing. And you know you should be tithing, and so you say, you know what, I'm going to just start tithing. I'm going to trust the Lord for this. I don't mention tithing because we need you to give money. I don't do that. I believe tithing is a biblical principle. It's in the Old Testament, New Testament. New Testament is even a greater principle. They didn't just give a tenth. They gave everything.
Right.
I mean, if you want to go there, that, you know... I don't know how many of y'all would sign up for that, but tithing is a really good way to support the church and carry on the work of the church. And so you say, I know I should do that. And so you start tithing. You're like, well, it may be tough, but I'm going to do it. And then out of nowhere comes an unexpected bill. And you're faced with the problem. You step out of the boat and you say, yes, I'm going to start tithing. I'm going to be obedient to Jesus. And here comes the storms of life. And you say, wait a minute. I've got some storms I've got to deal with. And then after I deal with the storms, I'll get back to trying to solve my problem, Jesus. And it's the storm that's going to build your faith. If you could ever weather that storm, if you could ever say, Lord, regardless of what this new bill is or these consequences are, I'm going to trust you. Let me tell you what happens when you do that. When you exercise that faith and you trust God, then God miraculously meets the other needs.
Amen.
And by the way, that's not just the testimony of others. That's my own testimony.
Amen.
When Brent and I were first married, not much per hour. I mean, we knew how to use a 10-pound bag of potatoes and flour. I mean, we were really good at that. But we were committed to tithing. I remember one time came time to tithe or pay our rent. And I called the landlord and I said, look, I'm going to be a little late with the rent, but I'll give it to you on such and such a date. I've got to tithe first. And you know what God does? When we put Him first, He always supplies it. He loves to see us exercise faith. By the way, He's going to put you in a situation like that to find out whether or not it's a real, genuine commitment or if you're just trying to say, okay, I'll try this thing out and see if it works. And by the way, that many other things in the Christian life, we get out there and we start, and then it just kind of fizzles out, and we find ourselves sinking, and we need to continue steadfast in the faith and see what God's going to do. Amen? Don't focus on the problem. Keep your eyes on Jesus. If you'll do that, your faith will grow. That's the third lesson. And the final one is where we find in the reading we have in Matthew chapter number 16. Now, the disciples were told to be careful about the spiritual problems that the Sadducees and Pharisees might sow into the heart of the disciples. Be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And immediately the disciples thought, well, it has to be because we don't have any physical bread. We should have done what we're supposed to do. We forgot all about it. We don't have bread. And Jesus is kind of, sideways attacking us because we didn't bring the bread that we should have brought. And why didn't we bring the bread? And Jesus says, guys, wait a minute. In Matthew chapter 16, in verse 8, which when Jesus perceived, he said to them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? And then notice what he goes on to say. He said, don't you remember? Don't you remember when there was 5,000 men, not counting women and children? And we know the children were there because they got a little boy's lunch, right? Women and children were there. But the men were 5,000 counted. He said, don't you remember how we took up 12 baskets full after we fed 5,000? Everybody that was there? And not long after this, before this event where they say, oh, we didn't bring bread, they fed another 4,000 and 7 baskets full.
Amen. Yes.
Sometimes our faith is little because we fail to grow in faith. You know what they should have done when the 5,000 were fed? They should have said, now listen, I need to remember this. I'm going to put this in my little book of great things God has done in my life. And when I face a problem with food or God meeting some kind of need, I'm going to go back and I'm going to remember, hey, remember when he fed 5,000? And he fed 4,000 too. I'm going to write that down. God fed 4,000 and I was there. I experienced and I saw it. Okay, I don't have bread now. My God has fed 5,000, 4,000. He certainly can feed me.
Amen. Exactly.
They failed to build their faith out of all the great things God had done in their life. And let me tell you something. All of us are guilty of this.
Right.
How many thousands of prayers have God answered for you? Thousands.
I mean,
our church, we've seen God do some just amazing things.
Amazing.
I remember Brother John one time, he had to leave, had a severe headache and was going to the hospital. We stopped and prayed and they didn't get to the hospital. They turned around and came back and said it was gone. And that's just one of many great things that God has done for us because we prayed and we asked God. I don't know how many times there's a request on Wednesday night, and the time we get back next Wednesday night, there's a report. God has met this need. And listen, He's done the same thing in your life as well. If you're a child of God, you could testify that God has answered prayer in your life. And you know what happens though? He's answered all these prayers and then we face a new problem. And instead of us saying, hey, God has got this.
Yes.
God's in charge. I don't need to worry about this at all. I can trust Jesus with this. You know what we do instead of doing that? We grumble and we complain and oh no, what am I going to do? This is just terrible. I've never experienced anything like this, and you've experienced it many times before. never experienced anything like this in my life. Oh, no, I don't have bread. And Jesus is getting on to me because I don't have bread. That's not the case. God has done enough in your life that your faith should have steadily increased since the day that you met Him as your Savior. But how many of us know, many Christians, that God has done something wonderful in their life and then some other problem comes up. I'm telling you the truth, ain't it? And you would think that they have forgotten everything God's ever done for them. Is that true or not? I'm telling you all the truth. And everything God has done for you in the past and everything He's done in the Word of God should continually make your faith stronger and stronger and stronger. How disappointed must the heart of God be when we face a new issue that we don't immediately face that issue in faith?
All right now.
It's about time we start facing those issues in faith.
With faith.
Brother Castner, be with us. Wednesday night. I'm telling you, that's a man of faith. The first time he came to America to try to get some help for the works that were going on, the schools that he had, the pastors that needed help, he had enough to get to Miami. And he really didn't know anybody in America. He knew of a couple of pastors, but didn't know them personally. He knew one here in Jacksonville and knew one in, I think, Orlando. Fort Lauderdale. And so he's in the Miami airport. Don't have enough money to get a bus. He's praying. He's stuck. He's praying. And a stranger goes over there and he said, Pastor, what's wrong? What's going on? He said, how do you know I'm a pastor? He said, well, I know you're a pastor. He said, what's going on? The man ends up giving him enough money to get to the next location that he needs to get to. And then he gets to the next location and they help him get here to Jacksonville.
Yeah.
And then we meet him. We don't know him from anybody. And you know, a lot of times churches are approached to help people and those people are just scammers.
Right.
You have to be real careful.
Yeah.
Especially when you don't have no idea who anybody is. And we met with Brother Castamere and talked with him for a while and asked him what he needed. And he said, listen, this is what I need. I need you to come to Haiti and see the work. He didn't ask for anything. I wish that y'all would had a record of exactly how much money that we've sent to Haiti since the time that we met him in the pastor's office. I would imagine it's probably getting toward the millions. Millions. I mean, we built schools, we built complexes, we built churches. He's in the process now of building a medical clinic. And it's just been marvelous to see how God has done all of that. Sometimes He would call and the need would be so great that I would even think, oh, I mean, I hate to see His name come up on the phone sometimes. You know, Brother Tommy, we're going to need $40,000. And Brother Casimir, I don't have $40,000. And it's always been just amazing to see how God would send 7,000 from here and 14,000 from there. And he'd go and speak at a church, and that church would give him 10,000. It's just been amazing to see how God would always meet the needs of what they were doing, and it's just marvelous to see His kind of faith.
Amen.
I've told y'all this story before, but I'll tell it again, and I'll close with this. He was visiting at our church, and Brenda was at the church. I was on the van picking up kids, had kids waiting on me, had my wife waiting on me. We had guests at the church. Brother Castner is going to be speaking. He's with me. We come to the stop sign and the van just shuts down. I'm stomping on the gas. I'm turning the key. I, I'm just like, I can't believe this. The worst. I mean, what am I going to do? We didn't have cell phones back then. What? I can't get up with Brenda. I don't know. The kids are waiting on me. And if you saw my inside, I was pulling my hair out. I was like, I don't know what to do. This is terrible. How can this happen right now? Why can't it happen some other time? And I look over at Brother Castleman, and he's sitting there smiling. I'm like, look, you should be worried about this. And he simply said to me, Pastor, God knows. God knows. If we never cranked the van and we didn't get to church that day, God knows.
Amen.
It did crank. We did get to church. But I remember over and over again, a lot of times I get in a situation, you know what words come to my mind? Pastor, God knows.
Yes, yes.
God knows.
Glory to God.
He knows what He's doing. And our faith stays little because we forget the many things God has done for us in the past. If He met your need some time ago, He's the same God that can meet your need now.
Yes, He is.
If He's delivered you from one sin, He's the same God that can deliver you from another sin.
Yes, yes.
He's still on the throne. Amen? Don't have little faith. Start growing that faith. Trust in Jesus. Amen? If you're here this morning and you've not been saved, the only way for you to be saved, this is it, is to trust Jesus to save you. Believe what He did on the cross is sufficient to pay your sin debt. And ask Him to save you, and Jesus will. Amen? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you haven't called on Him, call on Him today. Amen? Would you do that? Let's stand for prayer. Father, please help us now. Lord, you know some of your children who, even myself, you might have to say to me, oh, you have little faith. Lord, we don't want a weak faith.
No,
we don't want a faith that's not growing and getting stronger. We ask that you would help us. Lord, help us not try to solve all of our problems. Lord, help us to learn at least to start bringing even our basic needs back to you again.
Yes.
Lord, give us this day our daily bread.
Yes.
Do you know how much we need to live each day?
Yes,
you have the power to make a way for us. Provide work,
yes,
or wisdom,
yes,
or move us, God, where you want us.
Yeah.
Just help us, Lord, to trust in you.
Yes.
And Father, I pray that you'd help us to remember your word.
Yes.
Lord, help us when we go through the Bible to look for the promises and commands. And Lord, help us to realize those things are concrete and real. And
yes, they are.
You always do exactly what you say you would do. Lord, please help us.
Yes.
And help us when we face storms and problems.
Yes.
Or to remember your word.
Remember.
And Father, I ask you that you would also help us begin to mark different times when you've done things in our life.
Hallelujah.
Holy Ghost, bring those things back to our minds. So when we face new problems, that we take the experience of what you've done in our lives and we would trust you, God, to do it again.
Yes.
And Father, I ask you that you'd also help us, Lord, that when we need you, God, that we would learn to look to you first above all things. Father, please bless. You know our heart. We want your help. Lord, help us to humble ourselves. Ask for it. There's one here today that's lost. Please draw them this morning with a strong drawing. Help them to realize it's not the pastor, not the church, but it's God that's wanting them to be saved. God, help them to respond to you and trust you this morning and be saved. Receive Jesus as their Savior. Bless in the invitation, Father. Have your way, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Let's turn to page 255. 255. If you need to come for prayer, please come.
Have thy affections been nailed?